We make a good team sometimes. Advent candle of love. Today we light the candle of love. This candle reminds us of God's unfailing love and his promise of salvation through the coming of Jesus Christ, the ultimate expression of love for all humanity. As we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Christ's birth, let us reflect on these words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Isaiah 61:1-2. May the light from this candle inspire us to love one another deeply and live as reflections of Christ's love in the world.
Well, we have one more candle on Christmas Eve, and we're through. It's kind of sad when you think about it. You guys like Christmas? Like the season? Do you enjoy it? Yeah, me too. The older I get, the more I enjoy it. I used to be a Scrooge, but I think I'm coming around. So, well, Christmas is a season of love, and it's the ultimate love story of God's sacrificial love, sending Jesus here to be with us. And sometimes we can get that confused with all the different holiday songs and traditions that we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But the real message of Christmas is about accepting and experiencing and sharing the profound and life-changing love of God. And so if you've been with us for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this concept of the gifts of Christmas. And we've also been looking at some popular Christmas gifts from the past decades. And so to get you in the mindset of Christmas gifts, one more time, we're going to go back through and check out some of these gifts. I've compiled probably what I would say is the ultimate Christmas list, and I'm hoping I've hit some of you guys along the way. But in the 20s, we started with the original Erector set and the teddy bear. What a time, right? In the 1930s, Mickey Mouse comes out along with Monopoly and Sock Monkeys, right? We're getting, well, actually, an Erector set's really cool. I'm impressed that the 20s had that. That's a sweet gift, actually. But in the 30s, Monopoly came out and families were no longer the same, right? It turned Christmas into a slugfest every year. In the 40s, the board game Clue came out along with the famous Red Ryder BB gun, right? So I know the movie didn't come out in the 40s, but it was set in the 40s when Ralphie, all he can think about is this Red Ryder BB gun and not shooting his eye out. In the 1950s came the Magic 8 Ball, the original Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, and water balloons. Now we're getting somewhere. Those Potato Heads, though, look pretty creepy, not going to lie. That's not the kind that I got when I was a kid. In the 60s, toys got really dangerous with the Easy Bake Oven and the original Etch-A-Sketch. That's a good time. Anybody, are we getting somewhere with, we get any of these? Okay, cool. Good, good. 1970, Stretch Armstrong comes out along with the card game Uno. That's a fun one. In the 80s, brings along My Little Pony and the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Now we're getting into my years. The 90s brought the Tamagotchi. You remember that? It was this little digital thing you had to try and keep alive somehow, along with the Beanie Baby craze and also Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all the other fun stuff. And then the 2000s, the Nintendo Wii and the PS2 both made their debut. And now we're just getting into all the tech stuff. Now, the 2010s came Frozen and the iPad, and then who could forget Baby Shark? I will never forget Baby Shark. He will be on repeat in my head probably until I die. That is, if you've raised kids this decade, it's back there forever. And then the 2020s, this little fella named Grogu, or better known as Baby Yoda, became very popular. And then these Squishmallows are apparently really cool and fun. So maybe you've received one or more of these gifts on this list, or maybe you've been tasked with buying one or more of these gifts. But whatever your relation is to this list, and this is a pretty good list, these gifts still don't compare to the actual gifts of Christmas that we receive through the arrival of Jesus, which are hope, peace, joy, love, which we're talking about today, and then on Christmas Eve, representing the presence of Jesus. And so, to start off talking about love, we're going to talk about Christmas songs. And maybe you think that's a little weird, but you'll see where we're going here in a minute or two. And so, what would Christmas be without Christmas songs? Would it be anything? Some of you would say that Christmas couldn't happen without the music, right? Others might say it would be way better if we didn't have to hear Christmas songs all the time. And in October, I'm in that camp, right? I like Christmas songs after Thanksgiving. It's a good thing. But when you walk into a store in October and they're already playing Christmas music, I can just pump the brakes here, right? So we're going to look at some popular Christmas songs that you would hear on the radio and play a little game to see if you know them. It's called, I totally made this up, this isn't an official game, but it's called Name That Christmas Song. So I'll read a phrase from a well-known holiday song and you try and think of the song title. You ready? Here we go. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Yeah, good job. Next, when we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm, but if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Yeah, let it snow, baby, it's cold outside, same song. All right, decorations of red and green Christmas, of a red and green Christmas tree wouldn't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Yeah, Blue Christmas, good job. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Yeah, I'll be home for Christmas. All right, this one is long and also easy. In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Yeah, Winter Wonderland, right? Okay, and if you didn't get any of those, here is one for the rest of us that are a little slow. The song title's the same as the lyrics. All I Want for Christmas is You. Yeah, All I Want for Christmas is You. Good job. Great job, everybody. All right, there is a point to this game. Did you notice a theme here in all these Christmas songs? And I'm sure there's many, many more we could go through that are like this. Now, Valentine's Day might get the glory for being the holiday of love, but it's pretty clear that Christmas also wants a corner on the market, right? This season of love and romance. In fact, in the American Wedding Study of 2014 that was conducted by Brides Magazine, researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur in December. It makes it the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular day to pop the question? Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. So, hate to break it to old Cupid, the little floating baby, not the reindeer, right? He's a Christmas one. But anyway, more people get engaged on Christmas Eve than on Valentine's Day. And so there's nothing wrong, right? There's certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love during this season. But depending on where you find yourself in regard to romantic relationship at the moment, all this love in the air could do a couple things. It could bring happiness and expectation, or it could bring loneliness and isolation. Either way, too much focus on cuddling in the cold or meeting under the mistletoe can blind us from what the real love story of Christmas is. And so you see, the real love story of Christmas has nothing to do with romance at all, no matter what Mariah Carey says. The season for us, or the challenge for us in this season, is not to miss the true gift of love. This is the love story that has been written for all of us, no matter where we stand romantically. Now, the story of true and faithful, unending, sacrificial love, it's God's lavish love in sending His Son, Jesus. So this love has been God's story from the beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was a part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the garden, both before and after sin had entered the world. God showed His love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving him a new start. And in the Old Testament, God gave commandments and law in love as a way for people to atone from their sins and be connected with God again. And so His love turned the world inside out when He sent His Son Jesus to live among us, the God of the universe, born in a stable to die on a cross and rise again from the grave, and it took love to disrupt and overturn the power of death and evil. So this grand story is not really about a feeling at all, or warm fuzzy blankets, or sitting by the fireplace with hot chocolate. It's actually God's story of love in action, of how the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with you, to sacrifice his life so that you could be with him. This is the fourth gift of Christmas that we experience this Advent season. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we have been on a journey through the season of Advent. And the word Advent means arrival. And this season is marked by expectation and waiting and anticipation and longing. And Advent is not just an extension of Christmas, but it's a season that links the past and present and future together. Now, Advent offers us this opportunity to share in this ancient longing and waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, the waiting to celebrate his birth and to be alert for his second coming. Now, during Advent, we light these candles on a wreath, which my lovely wife did so well earlier. These represent aspects of Jesus' coming to a dark and lost world. Now, as we celebrate with our own Advent wreath this season, we light an additional candle each week, and each flame brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world. In the first week, we lit the candle of hope, and we talked about hope past, present, and future. And then week two, we lit the peace candle and talked about the different ways that peace is manifested in our lives. And then last week, we lit the candle of joy after the children blessed us with all that joy up here on stage. We talked about anticipating and recognizing and choosing joy. And today, we lit the candle of love. Advent is a season for rediscovering the arrival of our Savior and for gaining an even greater understanding of how wide and long and high and deep God's love is for us. This is the gift that we experience today. Have you ever been with kids as they unwrap gifts on Christmas? The excitement of the ripping the paper is quickly replaced by the excitement of opening up the box and actually playing with whatever toy or game is inside. The worst two things that could happen on Christmas. Number one is a gift without batteries, right? Awful. It's the worst. Sorry, bud, we don't have size D batteries. And there's no store open that's going to sell them to you right now. You're going to have to wait. And then the second thing is a gift that requires adult assembly, right? Because that's the last thing an adult wants to do is put together a 150-piece toy the second it gets unwrapped. Kids, they want to unwrap and dive in. And so today, that's what we're going to do with the gift of love. We're going to dive right in. And by doing that, we're going to talk about three ways that we fully receive the love of Jesus this Advent season. And the first one is that we accept his love. Now, I'm going to guess that you guys have heard the reference, John 3:16, and many of us hear this verse running through our heads automatically right now. And just in case, it goes like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The problem is, sometimes we're so familiar with this verse that we can recite it and look right past it. But God's love is in sending Jesus, right? This is this one love that changes everything. And we know the verse so well that we can just overlook it if we're not careful. But this was the ultimate gift and the ultimate act of sacrifice. It was a holy, complete, and infinite love. The message of this verse, is at the core of what we believe. And so it makes sense that as we experience the gift of love today, we should start right there at the core, at the center. God loved the world and he gave his Son so that when we accept that gift and believe in him, we are given his life, his salvation, and then eternal life. So the first thing we do with the gift of God's love is so basic, it's easy to overlook. And we must accept the gift, right? Notice I said basic, but not easy. For some of you here today, this step of accepting God's love is believing in Jesus may be very difficult. And maybe something you've struggled with for a long time, or it may be a brand new idea for you. Maybe it's a gift that you've been neglecting for a while. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times and you don't trust that there's something greater. Or maybe you're thinking, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets and the doubts and the fears and the pains that I'm carrying inside. And the truth is, I probably don't know, but God does. And the love that He offers sees and knows and understands all those things. The love that God offers is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. So no matter what challenges or hurts are holding on to you this season, God's love can handle them and God's love can heal them. So wherever you are on the journey today, it's okay. God knows and He understands. And His response is perfect love. Wherever you find yourself, I encourage you this week to accept the gift of God's love. Let this season of Advent be the one of accepting the love and salvation that God offers in His Son. Accept His gift, and then you can experience the lavish love of God. And that brings us to our second way that we can receive this love, is to experience His love. Now, during this Advent season, my hope is that we would all experience the love of God deeply. That it would be easy to be distracted by all these things that we need to get done the next few weeks. And it's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love really can overcome the darkness and the hatred in our world. It's easy to allow worry over tomorrow or next week or next year to overwhelm us and keep us from feeling loved. All those things do matter, right? God doesn't ask you to ignore tomorrow or next year or next week. You don't have to do that in order to experience His love. You don't have to purge or rid yourself of hurry or worry. He invites you to bring that stuff to Him. Experiencing God's love is being able to surrender the deepest hurts and concerns of your life to Him and allow Him to renew you and fill you with His love. And so the good news is that the love He gives through Jesus is enough. The Apostle Paul described the type of love we can experience like this. It's on your screen. He says this in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a powerful love. It's the most powerful love. It's a love that can't be contained or constrained by any other power in the universe. Not evil or death, no person, no king, no royalty, no nothing. It's a love that's meant to be experienced. And if we want to go back to our example of a kid on Christmas Day, this isn't a gift that we accept and unwrap and then just put it on a shelf. It's more like a new favorite stuffed animal to be embraced and to carry and hold and use and until its ears fall off. No, this example doesn't really do justice to the love of God, but I hope you get the idea. God's love should be at the center of all we do, not received and then put to the side or just left for Sundays. So I guess we want to let this season be one of embracing God's love fully and experiencing His love in new ways as we continually open our hearts and our hands and our minds and our lives to Him. As we do this, we'll be filled, hopefully, to overflowing, and then we'll want to share His love with others, which brings us to our third way that we receive this love, is sharing God's love. So, have you ever been in love before? I would hope some of you would say yes, sitting next to your spouse. If you've been in love, there's a good chance that you've done something crazy, right? You've done something crazy to proclaim your love either to that person or your love for that person to the world. Maybe you literally shouted it out loud in public. Certainly nowadays, you can proclaim anything publicly through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever other social media platform you choose. Have you ever seen someone propose to their wife on a Jumbotron at a game? Yeah. It's what we humans do. It's why we have centuries worth of poetry and novels and plays and songs all about love. When we are in love, it shows. We can't help it. The gift of God's love really is the same way. It's for sharing. And in fact, sharing this gift doesn't leave us with less of it. It actually leaves us with more. Once we accept and experience the love of God, the next natural step is to share it. Let it overflow out and around us. John addresses this process in 1 John 4, 9 through 11. It's on your screen. He says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So God's love comes to us and then flows through us. The more we embrace it, the more we can experience it, and then the more we share it with others. So what would it look like for you to, this season of Advent, for you to accept and experience and share the love of God? It could mean spending quality time with family. It could mean reconnecting with a friend who has drifted away. It might mean serving your neighbors or strangers or seeking out someone you suspect is lonely or hurting. It might mean forgiving someone who has hurt you. Or it could mean apologizing to someone that you've hurt. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through you and to love others as He has loved you. Think of one way right now that you could share God's love this week. And then keep your heart and your eyes open to the world around you as Christmas approaches. Let's keep our focus on making this a season of love that reaches far deeper than the sappy Christmas carols or even the Hallmark Christmas romance stories. Let's rest in God's love and be known to others by His love flowing out of us. May this be a season of accepting and experiencing and sharing God's gift of love in a new and deeper way. As we close today, I want you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul from Ephesians. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you. We thank you for sending your Son. Not just this love that surpasses all power and knowledge, but God, this love that can't be contained. And that you would allow us to associate with it. Not only is this love real and exists, but it's directed towards us. God, help us to accept that love this week, this Advent season, this Christmas. Help us to experience your love. Help us to be a people that interact with your love. And God, once we accept and experience that love, we ask that you would give us the boldness, the courage, that we wouldn't be able to help but share your love with others. Because ultimately, that's what it's there for. May our eyes be open to opportunities you give to us this Christmas to love others well on your behalf, because you first loved us. God, without Christmas, we would all be dead in the water. We just thank you for a love so strong to leave heaven and earth, walk amongst us, do life with us, die on our behalf, conquer sin and death, and offer us eternity. Help us to see that this Christmas. Help us put that above any other gift we give or receive, that your love is greater than anything we can imagine. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and would like to respond, it's a great place to do it. I'd ask that you just stand with us and sing and use these next few moments to just reflect on what God's been speaking to you this morning.